Welcome to Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by St. Elizabeth and Hospice Toronto, discussing how best to care for a loved one or a friend while enriching their life and yours.
My wife and I have been married for 52 years, and she's still the love of my life. It was hard for both of us to see her heart disease progress. She needs a great deal of support these days, and I know she wants to remain at home. No one is saying she's going to die soon, but in my heart I know she's approaching her end of life, and I know she doesn't want to die in a hospital. I'm getting older myself. I don't like to admit it, but I really am not sure if I'm going to be able to do this on my own, and I'm overwhelmed.
I'm 42 years old, with two young children. I've been taking care of my aging parents for a couple of years now. As the eldest daughter in my family and culture, this is what is expected. I sure didn't expect to be facing my husband's recent diagnosis with cancer. It's a lot to absorb. I'm not sure where to get information, and I don't know how I'll manage to care for him at home. Will my children be able to cope? How will I continue to support my mom and dad as well?
Dina Mall and Belinda Marchese join us this morning. Dina is Executive Director of Hospice Toronto, Chair of the Toronto Palliative Care Network, and a board member with the Ontario Community Support Association. Belinda is Director of Clinical Services at Hospice Toronto. Belinda has worked at the hospice palliative field for 7 years, and prior to this, she worked in various health and social services and for a number of years. Thank you for joining us, both Dina and Belinda. Now, Dina, it isn't easy to talk about life-threatening illnesses, is it?
No, Murray, and that's a great thing to start out with. You know, you probably remember, I think you and I talked about this just before the series started, that we cared for both our mom and our dad, and when our mom was ill, we knew that she had cancer and that she was likely going to die. But when dad was sick, it was just a bunch of chronic illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea that he was, on a road that was going to really be a life-ending experience. And so it would have been really helpful had we known. But when he died, we, were doing this show, mm-hmm. and started to think about the fact that we, both Sean and I, were in healthcare services, and yet we had no idea how best to support Dad through this.
So is that a barrier that you find to people seeking support from hospice? They just never feel that they're at that stage even?
We're sometimes a death-denying culture. Mm-hmm. And so even physicians, healthcare professionals, struggle with when and how to tell a family, feeling that maybe they're not ready to hear that. It has inhibited referrals to hospice palliative care in some instances, which is really unfortunate. The pain and symptom management and the comfort measures, as well as the practical support that are at the core of good hospice palliative care, should be introduced when someone's diagnosed with a potentially life-ending illness. Mm-hmm. One of the comments, Murray, that we hear most often is, I wish I'd known about you earlier.
Maybe it could be interpreted that you're being pessimistic, that maybe it's bad luck. I mean, simplified comments regarding it, but maybe if someone is the one who says, this is something that we should deal with, this is something we should investigate, maybe ever, what are you saying?
It's often
mom,
an association.
Dad, or auntie is going to be fine.
Often an association with giving up hope, mm-hmm. which isn't the case.
Okay, Belinda, not everyone listening will understand what hospice is or what services they offer. Can you maybe tell us a bit about Hospice Toronto and the services you provide, and are all hospices the same?
Absolutely. I got a froggy throat. I like to say it's like a treasure in our community that exists that not everyone knows about. It exists in many places across the country and in many places in the world. And it's really a fundamental practice that people are helping to caregive for one another and take care of each other. It's, like I say, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we may be facing illness in our families or in our neighborhoods. And how do we take care of one another? Hospice Toronto really maximizes the supports of incredibly caring and compassionate volunteers. We train them and they come in to want to support their community. And by doing that, we're really able to help normalize people's experiences on a very practical kind of way. As in other episodes, people talked about just being part of people's lives. Mm-hmm. So it could be spending time with someone, doing things that they enjoy, but it can also be very practical, helping them make their meals, helping them move around their home, being there to support their caregivers, to provide the respite so someone can feel comfortable to go out someplace. And it's kind of an experience, and every situation is very unique. And hospice care really helps people to stay and remain at home for as long as they're able to. Some of the people we support may get better and may not need us, but many people will be declining in a journey. Mm-hmm. And in that journey, it could include them wanting to stay at home for a home death or to transition to a palliative care unit or a residential hospice.
We were chatting before we went on air about the fact that, you know, we've all probably been in situations in a hospital where the nurse is administering to a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that feeling. It's like, no, you almost feel you want to do it yourself.
Absolutely.
There's a touch you can offer. And God love the nurses of our community. They do wonderful work and they do the best they can. But you cannot substitute a personalized touch. Or you can't have that. That's something only someone can provide who's either a family member or someone who has built that relationship. And that's something that I think we all, be it in a situation where we are going to recover, or maybe we're on a path otherwise,
correct,
that we'd prefer to, you feel better. It's that same feeling about saying, I'd rather be at home right now.
Absolutely. You know? And lots of different things can help make a difference. And the goal is to maximize the supports from your family and your friends and your neighborhood. And then as caregivers start to find that their journey is a long one at times, mm-hmm. who else can come in? And people are always so amazed when they meet the volunteers and the staff support them through the navigation and information needs. And all of a sudden, they have a nice sense of community. Mm-hmm. And people will say the best gift that people can give them while they're facing their illness is to allow others to support them. And I think that that would be something I would want for people that I love and for myself.
They become part of the family, too, don't they?
They really, truly do.
And these relationships endure over time. Dina, the woman who spoke about her young children had concerns many of us might share. I imagine parents often want to shield their children from pain, and talking about a family member being seriously ill, especially a parent, would be hard. What advice would you give her?
Well, it's a natural instinct, Murray, to want to protect your children. And many parents see shielding children from the information or the knowledge that someone is very seriously ill and may be dying as part of that protection. I know in our life, my first experience with death was when our mother died when I was 36 years old. I, looking back, wish that I had had a more normalized experience of death and dying and that it had come into my life a little sooner. It's very hard when you're that old and you haven't experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But children are smart, you know, when they're intuitive and they sense that something's happening. And so it's actually, they will imagine the worst anyway. So it really is better to speak with your children in a way that's appropriate for their age and start to provide that information. It doesn't need to be all at once, but bit by bit, start to build some awareness and bring them into the conversation. We have volunteers. We run a children's program, our Kit for Kids program, and we also have a Young Carers program. We spoke about that last week. So if you call a hospice, we can connect you with volunteers that will help you to support children through that sort of a situation as well.
You know, I relate to what you're saying. As much as we try and shield the children from anything we feel that might scare them or hurt them, when I was a kid, I remember not finding out about Grandma Mina passing away. And I was hurt.
Yeah.
I was very young, but I was upset that I could actually be held out of the loop on this thing. So really, you know, not only is it part of becoming or growing up, it's not always pleasant, which is one of the lessons we have to learn. But you can, by shielding them too much in hopes of having not hurt them, you can cause more damage by having them feel that, that they weren't considered to be part of the process. You know?
And it's funny you should say
that. You're not doing
that.
Them any favors. Really.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because that's one of my memories too. It's not grandma, but grandpa. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, we weren't allowed to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
We weren't taken to the funeral. And I have to be honest, and it's a bit embarrassing, being in hospice, I didn't take my children to my mother's funeral. and they were 10 and 12 at the time. And it's a regret. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from my children now that I'm in hospice that they wanted to go. But, you know, I sent them away. So I was doing the same thing. It's human.
But see, you've learned something.
I thought it was protecting them.
Belinda, quickly, we have very little time left. Many of the families you support are likely dealing with issues the husband shared. Aging themselves and supporting a spouse who's very ill and wants to remain at home to receive care. How can they be supported or how can the family be supported to make this choice?
Well, I think starting the dialogue is always a first good step, and then starting to explore what's available in the community. As talked about it in different episodes, there's different services that can come in. And really, we consider the hospice palliative care field to have a strong interprofessional team, which includes the primary physicians and the visiting physicians, the community care access, and other community support services. By bringing those supports together with community hospice programs such as Hospice Toronto's program, we can see how we can bring in different types of services and support. And all of a sudden, you might have personal care hours coming in. You may have a volunteer coming in to do complementary therapy to help with pain and symptoms, right. Other volunteers to help with cooking or doing your groceries for you, and just being with someone. And working together really allows the experience to be more wholesome. And for this gentleman, he knows that he's going to be with his wife 24/7, but there's going to be things that he still will require to do. Or as the woman said earlier in the vignette, she still needs to help to take care of her aging parents. Her husband's going through cancer himself. She's a mom. So, you know, talking to the school community to make sure the kids are doing okay while they're in school, having people who might stop by to bring that casserole or just to say a quick hello. So really working together both with the formal systems and the informal systems can really help an individual such as these two and really try to encourage their journey to be as wholesome as they can. And it's not easy, but we can all relate. We've been there.
If everybody maybe pitches in a little, it all adds up, doesn't it?
Very much.
Belinda Marchese, Dina Mall of Hospice Toronto, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Talking Care, a caregiving journey, brought to you by Hospice Toronto and St. Elizabeth. For more information on today's discussion, call 1-877-787-7342. That's 1-877-787-7342. To listen to this episode again, suggest topics for future episodes, or browse helpful resources, visit www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare. That web address again, www.stelizabeth.com/talkingcare.
Home is comfort and warmth. Home is family and memories. Home is where you want to be. We're St. Elizabeth, pioneers in home and community care. For over 100 years, we've helped people stay in their homes. We can help you or someone you care about. St. Elizabeth, nursing, therapies, and personal support provided in your home. Visit stelizabeth.com to order your copy of our Caregiver Compass, a valuable resource on caring for those you love.